Chinatown.
Good evening.
Good evening. You are listening to The Talking Show
on K Chung Radio.
That's right, Nicholas. K Chung Radio, Los Angeles' only
micro broadcasting
radio solution.
Solution. You beat me to it. I need a solution to these allergy problems.
Oh dear, what are you allergic to, Nicholas?
I have no idea. You know, suppose they do that test, everyone. You can go get that test done where they prick your back all up.
Yeah, a grid.
I've never done that.
I think it's worth doing.
Yeah, because then you find out, say it's ragweed or something, but then what do you do?
Well, in some cases, it's things that are common in your environment that you can actually avoid.
Like lemons or something.
Yeah, imagine it's lemons, for example, then you don't consume lemons anymore and you don't experience allergies anymore, so thus your life improves. Or in the case that it's something that's unavoidable, at least you're aware.
Right, then when the ragweed count is up, then I wear my mask or whatever.
Yeah, something like that, yeah. Exactly.
Mm.
Yeah.
So all those ladies in Chinatown with the masks, they must have had that test. And they can...
I feel like that's something else.
Okay.
I feel like that's an inaccurate belief about the size of germs versus the size of the filter
right.
for the masks. And maybe a realistic thing about just, you know, what happens when you sneeze.
Right.
You've seen that slow motion photograph of sneezing.
In a theater. I've seen the film of sneezing in the theater, and they kind of color code the sneeze, and you watch it go through the air, the HVAC system, and the sneeze spreads throughout the whole theater.
Oh, no, I haven't seen that.
It's pretty... My father basically won't go to the theater because of that movie.
I've seen this photograph that shows... again, they do some sort of trick lighting or something like that that highlights the size of the sneeze. So you feel like the sneeze is something sort of happening close to you, but in fact it's extending about 2 meters or, let's say...
6 feet.
6-7 feet.
Even when you cover up?
The photograph is of a free sneeze.
Okay. Unfettered.
An unfettered, unrestrained, free sneeze.
Unbridled.
And speaking of free sneezes, just before coming into K-Chung this fine misty night, the talking show... decided we were going to take in some culture, which is, you know, something that frequent listeners of our show know that both Nicholas and I are great lovers of culture.
Right. With a K.
With a K.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We dabble in the little C stuff as well.
Game of Thrones is back on April 12th, for example. Yeah. We're going to start publicizing HBO's Game of Thrones every week on the show until it happens.
Last week when I had my first kidney stone, I watched Skyfall.
Nicholas, I had no idea you had a kidney
stone. I didn't tell
you
about that?
No, I did not hear about that.
It was harrowing.
I can only... How big was it?
Honestly, I'm not even sure I've passed it yet because I feel better, but I didn't see anything.
Why are you growing kidney stones?
That, I think, is just something that happens genetically.
So your father...
I talked to him. Apparently, he doesn't have them.
Your uncles.
Or, you know, maybe it skips a generation.
Your grandfather.
My grandfather was just, you know, squirting.
Or it's on
out.
Your mother's side or something like that. Yeah. Here.
But the doctor did tell me that I was supposed to catch it, the stone.
So have you been holding your urine?
That was my initial approach, but then someone recently told me that you can just buy a sieve and pee into a sieve.
So you have a sieve near your toilet.
Well, it's not so. I have my first stone at a tender age, which means I'll probably have more. So it's something to consider, because I guess once your body starts producing them, it doesn't stop until you figure out what the stones are made of, what's the mineral composition of them, and then you can take supplements to help your body break down those particular minerals. So I'm gonna catch them all, as Johnny Jungle Guts would say.
Oh my God. Yeah, your body's own Pokemons.
Yeah. So, it was intense. But all that to say, I engaged in some little sea culture during this unpleasant experience. Uh-huh. I watched a lot of James Bond movies.
Right. Skyfall. You saw Skyfall.
I saw Skyfall, yeah.
And what'd you think?
I thought it dealt with issues of technology and nostalgia in its own ham-fisted way that was somehow more poignant than the Couture film we just saw.
Interesting. So we just saw Jean-Luc Godard's new movie.
Forget About Language.
Farewell to Language.
Adieu.
Goodbye Language.
3D, 2D.
Yeah, in 3D. It's in 3D. And it is actually, I would say, legitimately fascinating.
Yeah.
I was fascinated by the film. There was early on a lot of great scenes of people using their phones.
I haven't seen, you know, other than computer-generated graphics, I haven't seen a visual effect that shocked me in a while. And he did one.
What was it, Nick?
Well, there's this thing where, you know, when there'd be a kind of smooth transition from one scene to the next, but yet both 3D images would kind of stay in place. And like you said, you felt cross-eyed.
Well, he would do this one thing, actually, where a 3D filmed image requires two cameras.
Right.
And so he would have one camera trained, both cameras trained on the subject as if to create the 3D effect. And then one of the cameras, I believe it would be like the left eye, for example, would pan to the right to follow some action off screen, thereby imposing one image on top of the other. And you could either try and metabolize both at the same time, which was unbelievably painful and disorienting inside your head, or you could close one eye or the other eye and yourself select between which of the two parallel scenes would happen, and then the camera would pan back.
It's like the most advanced,
reform this stereo image, and it was fantastic.
Advanced form of choose your own adventure.
It was incredible for that. Yeah, it was definitely doing something I would say genuinely new.
Right.
By allowing that sort of audience-driven aspect.
Well, the funny thing was that the visual effect was very similar to trying to watch a 3D movie without the glasses on.
Yeah, while wearing the 3D glasses.
Right.
And a similar thing.
Alienation effect.
There were other tacky Brechtian alienation effects that Godard attempted, which is just par for the course for Godard, and kind of unfortunately, I think.
Well, you know, at least... Well, I was going to say, at least he hasn't, in his old age, slipped into just making movies about puppies, but...
He did actually make movies. The movie is also... The last half is almost entirely about buying a puppy.
A dog. Well, it wasn't a puppy.
I'm not a good judge, so I'll defer to you. You know about dogs much more than I do.
It was a dog.
The thing I liked about it was its reflection, and I find this interesting in later works in general, like I saw Von Rainer's most recent dance work, which is a reflection on her, you know, breakaway Trio A success and on the sort of mantle of August Dancemaker that has fallen on her shoulders since, you know, being a MacArthur Genius Award winner, etc.
It's tough to be a certified genius.
Isn't it? And at the same time, you know, to hear her tell it in her late work, all she wants is for people to just fucking pay her. She doesn't want any more honorary degrees. She just wants a check. Thanks.
What does she do with the money?
Well, I think she uses it towards healthcare and living expenses.
Yeah.
For the most part.
Where does she live? New York?
Yeah. Upstate New York. Wow. I think that what was interesting here was there was a clear reflection on the film Numéro 2. There's a brief intercut video scene showing the anal sex scene from Numéro 2. It's like 10 under a second in this film. And then throughout the film, the sort of male erotic lead in the second part of the film spends lots of the time on the toilet, and they just really go nuts on the sound effects.
Yep.
Much farty fart sounds, etc. It's pretty wild.
There was some decent sound design. I couldn't tell if it was just the speaker array in the theater we were in, but some of the sounds I thought were coming from the people near me, especially the farting sounds.
Yeah. Well, I mean, who knows? It might be true. So back to the sort of zooming in and out and conflating three dimensions into two dimensions and back out again. That brings us around to our current guest. We're very pleased to have Jesse Houston in the studio with us today. Jesse is a artist, writer, and
Torontonian,
and he's in town for the what no doubt many K-Chung listeners are already dreading, the weekend of madness that is the LA Art Book Fair, Paramount Ranch, and the unbelievably poorly named Art Los Angeles Contemporary.
Alack.
Oh, man. And dear listeners, I'll be DJing at Alack 4 to 6 on Sunday. Come on out. Yes, Jesse is in town for the thing which brings so many people into town. We were lucky to snag him for the show.
You know what's kind of nice about these madness weekends in LA is they seem to always take place in the winter.
Yeah.
Since we don't really have a winter, everyone wants to do those things here. So we get the summer to ourselves.
It's true. There's people visiting at this time of year are unbelievably are fooled into believing it's a much busier place than it actually is.
Right.
You know, 2 weeks ago, what was it? They said there were 56 gallery openings that one night.
Oh, wow. I made it to one. No, I made it to two.
You had car trouble.
Yeah, that's true.
But, you know, and that was largely because those galleries anticipated an influx of people from away.
Because of the weather.
Because there would be these three events scheduled here because of the weather.
Wow.
It actually rained the day of the 56 openings, which was...
I remember.
A hassle. Jesse Houston, what else can I say? Jesse Houston has had an unbelievably rich primary education in experimental literature. The kind of thing that maybe we can get into after when he's finished.
Almost named Bjorn.
He was almost named Bjorn. He's one of the most undeniably Caucasian men I've ever met.
Not Danish.
He's not Danish. And that might be that. Ladies and gentlemen, Jesse Houston.
Thanks, Steve. And thanks, Nicholas. I'm just going to get started. I'm just going to turn you down that monitor because... Oh, yeah. Yeah. Okay, perfect.
Do you want a lower chair?
I'm comfortable, actually. Okay. I can just remain in this posture. I'm just going to start. I have two parts to what I'm doing tonight. I'm going to read part of a psychogeographic project that I published recently as kind of an introduction to an improvised piece that I'll start into afterwards. So I'm not going to talk much about it, but I'll be reading while I talk. So this is Ether of the Metro Region, or selections from Ether of the Metro Region, part one of A Topology of Toronto. Open space, an inventory of opportunities. The incongruous appearance in this neighborhood of shadowy park created by local improvement. Within the cement base of a cone, derelict garden has lost its intended improvement of adjacent property value. Never created agricultural fairgrounds, a mythical concatenation of two equally mythical spaces that must now be planned and created at the 0 degree. Schedule of addresses and telephone numbers, a truly pathetic litany. Lurking occasionally and finally permanently in municipal parks. Waiting in the sports field, lingering in the viewpoint. Generous park dedication at subdivision remains quiet and glamorously unoccupied during work week. The pedantry of a regional district designation. Provincial parks, Class C wetlands, scintillating with red-winged blackbird calls, exist in absolute proximity with the interior of the city. Gifts and bequests of land for open space, cynically donated. Knocking on random doors in cluster subdivisions. Ducks Unlimited, Canada, weighing strongly on your conscience. Delinquent this afternoon from schools and joint school community facilities. unable to distinguish the desolate street conversion to mall or park. Eventually intruded upon the unopened street park after dark. Engaged in exercise of replotting former residents. Sensing an unweeded sliver's origins in a cemetery park conversion. Neglected nobility of Central Mortgage and Housing Corporation subdivisions. Drifting from point to point within federal provincial housing programs. Families spreading epidemically in the vacuum skin of federal provincial new communities. Glowering Anglo-Saxon universities and colleges. Parks from garbage dumps as Archimedean as golf courses. The droning commute through suburban distances of harbor lands refashioned as an epiphenomena of financial speculation. Stunted, safety-tested follies triangulated in Capital Improvement District Commission Park, dotted with urine-dissolved fairy rings. Irrelevant heritage building and land in undesired municipal spaces dignifying in contrast the memory of middle-class dominance. Disregarded land use controls produce profitable waste housing and empty offices gaping like yard sale aquariums. All the picturesque hazard areas perfunctorily partitioned from the adjustments and apprehension of classical perspective. Hermeneutic circle of Canadian Wildlife Service Interpretation Program. The liberal prevarications of the Environment and Land Use Act read late into the night. The extraordinary conservatism of the Community Recreational Facilities Fund stamped with the ontology of regional parks. Is there an unplanned occasion to draw public attention to roadside rest areas and viewpoints? Approximated in fantasy, private, open spaces, general as any aspiration. An imprecise use of terminology results in the fateful twinning of Provincial Department of Public Works, urban space, with the Provincial Department of Public Works, conservation reserves. Allotment gardens ubiquitous, but not in the present. Canadian Urban Demonstration Program. Infinitely regressive open space around federal government institutions. Internally recursive open space from disused mineral workings. Fused. Passing on to the right a short distance, coming up to the first barrier by the side of the left face and following along across almost evenly in a plane near the surface, slightly offset from the ground and going along through to the end of the depression after the immediate corridor taking the line generated by the shorter distance between the supports under the unlit passage you can hear entering from the way about a hand span to the opening across the entrance reached by the ledge so that perpendicular to the region sloping upwards in a gradual ascent to a second stage in turn dropping sharply off at the side opposite the center where folding back from the wall in conformity with the border originating on the structure running from the left to the potted plants through to the separate area west down the shaft where a number of pinholes indicate the nearest way by the next panel with an opening to the empty floor first arrived at with one corner visible beyond the glass curtain wall past which you make a route into the darkened half of the level where the power lines run from the lowered tunnel marked with an exit sign accessible from underneath by the riser and taking you down to a covering on the wall parallel with the opaque side with flat features at its top sitting back from where the openings close so that near the deepest recesses of the darkened area a flag is lit by the edge where the curtain wall reaches the beam and no longer overlaps the cinder block facade over which you pass towards the smokestack now visible after the flag making contact with the face beyond and moving into the crawl space servicing the shaded installation abutting the chamber most recently occupied and obscured by the sliding panel now behind your forward facing position directly encountering a faceted plate hinged so that as you lift it to exit from the light from the window is blocked and making it necessary to guess at the location of the fenestration this way uncovered then letting onto the basement of the first living quarters around the stack of which this is the base with the open area appearing nearly round so easily traversed in width in width to the egress wide enough to lift the body from a crouch position, but quickly rising so that you are emitted standing on the platform in the mid-region of the next space, providing you with a short path north of the center, and then a longer distance to the only unblocked spot in the most direct pass to the ample overhang in the way of the change in high points, sectioning the remainder of the leaning ground to edges where it collapses into the front and where you go near of necessity, keeping close to the bend. Gloss. In that internally unstructured moment, clarified opposites melding at their slowly narrowing point of juncture and yet preserving mutual contrast to a third inert thing, distinguished by a release of friction from a fourth positive measurement that would contort the symmetry of the defining event taking place in the same but negative moment, never having displayed or exposed any part of the obverse side of the once novel object required by the observers of these acts in order to meet the preconditions of the conclusion of the final event representing the fourth object suggested by the general contour of the synthesized graph of evidence gathered at the initial review of distinguishing qualities accepted by the participants in each failure of its reception experienced throughout a duration occupied by the slow unveiling of variants in the instruments of a forceful power bordering on the mechanics of reproduction, isolated within the effects displaced to an area above as they are even out and separated from the imperceptible devices which collude spontaneously to produce them from wherever conditions for their concealment obtain in the mounting sequence of precisely planned and executed interventions in world events carried out through points of damage in the surface of the image and documented with perfect fidelity in a state of motion but only organized into a family of barely legible lines of causation at the end of a period in which their value was exclusively that of a virtual article worn by a concept in order to recall it as it faded in the inquiry into the indeterminate coordinates as they were compulsed to reveal themselves in the first set of spatial relations to fall into accord with what was personal in the recognition of anonymous images, felt to block the passage of time into its gradually widening interior parallel to the aims and ends of gain that are unavoidably contracted to those who are best modeled in their rapidly imploding features as innocent of utility for being devoid of any commodity value or image of labor, exactly as they were individually coerced with the most minimal contact during a time when the directives of a completed set of rules ordering the question of necessity, necessary consumption had become the excuse of an invisible minority for whom no instrument of detection was acceptable without miniaturizing an apparatus, greeted with the most profound verdict of obsolescence and treated as evidence collected from what was once the most inevitable point of origin of any memory meant to reassure agents of conventions who had depleted their fund of freely conducted actions in an attempt to liberate the channels of confluence of what would be proven to undermine the structure of ambient habitats that may have been discarded by each technique of preservation as it was destined to succeed in its realization of a support for a foreground which will only recede as it is emptied of the commands passing into numbness as their sheer frequency increases to the point of losing all distinction from the immediate past that is their background and the guarantee of their resemblance to a deformed original only experienced from the non-visual side of a membrane of what will eventually be traumatic definitions of the future's actions on the present account of slowly corrected stereotypes of what potential disagreements between the intricacies of the surface and the generalization of its description subsequent to its overflowing of the production of counterexamples, meeting what was censored in the control of unpredictable behavior initiated after all the convolutions of the gradually separating signals to act ran their course as they relocated to an obscure point of suture between the lingering webs of transitory modifications chosen at the direction of an organized composite identified only voluntarily and by its momentary embodiment of the reiterated habits or symptoms differing in their weighted preferences from what had been a naturalized attitude towards the dispersed suggestions of an unbound critique directed away from any orientation to newly dysfunctioning emulation of uncertainty in the gap between the notion of perversion and the notion of homogeneity on which each particle of that last open interpretation had to collect for its lingering authenticity to fracture the solidified and now mechanical elucidation of facts patterned after the implicit goals of an evacuated public denied the important stages appearing out of the movement of planned reinvestment in the instigation of temporary auto-affection, comparable in their legislation of redundancy to the unity of types in a small constellation elevated by the countervailing ordinances to add pressure outside the passage of consistent reaction that held in check the static wave of impact emanating from a hypothetical mediator between the saturation of sensory meanings, dictated from an unexamined method of elimination of flaws in any essence whatever, if it were assimilated as embedded or implicit in a now precarious fortification, formerly the point of retreat for the vehicle of conclusions unannounced, and then disturbingly obtruded by the practice of gradually repossessing the stratified base of an incline in the interchangeable statuses of what formerly would survive under the intelligible sign of sublime cliché in subliminal passages through the median point of an institution's suicidal aims and its corporate identity condensed into the logo functioning as a manual tool in the grid at least briefly associated with that initially incomplete model of disguise directed towards the field, evacuated by the loss of any information documenting its past itinerary on the reverse of a covered screen, opaquing both the morning and as much the loss of the now internal phase of specialization hierarchy decorated with the signs of international representation within the transparent end of originality fixated and frozen types of reactions or reflexes permanently bound to the projected aims of a functionalist in the most apocalyptic and yet contemporary sense strictly counter-traditional experiment in the generation of unoccupied space from otherwise dysfunctional articulations of shared acoustic products, felt visually in the homogeneous liquid medium of the voice, emptied of all familiarity to be presented only as exemplary when dampened or slowed within another medium unsuited to the collected montage of an allegory of remotely purchased banalities, vended on a pathway inaugurated by a distant and approximate memory of signage, often illuminated from within as though schematic for a product intercepted at its point of creation and misrecognized as the entryway for consumption under the influence of accent, often but inconsistently rejected as an unrigorous term to be found in the company of concepts like tint or mood, which were used to the point of semantic evaporation by some of the nodes observing the gradual dereliction of peripheral tranquility, stationed in the net of rapidly demolished and recently constructed communication strands, when privately designating that which was scarcely available to the competitive practice of isolating gestures in their everyday institutional form, put in permanent misalignment with every other simplified feature of the at-this-moment urgent meditation modulated to a potential neuronal vacuum in place of the point of destination. An urban geography of southwestern Toronto. Interior of dirty radio. Boundary of city increasingly asymptotic. Subterranean diner. Water tower like a classic tin can transistor. Body of water cooling. Interior size of exterior. Dust patterned by rain from previous day's shower visible in the harsh sinking sun. Abattoir drainage backs up through underground creek, Trinity Spadina riding flooded with gaseous putrescence, gusting from capped ventilation stacks. Muted green UV-filtered towers vacant. Magnesium scintillates and strobes from progressively glazed penthouse. Restaurants pass like train cars. White sand in cement ashtrays spotted with orange-brown haloed black burns. Auto-tune from passing car. The determinants are obscure. Far from here, buildings accumulate with mineral irregularity. As a child, I used to stare into vents at Queen and Jarvis. Small fluorescent part of action figure on street. Consecutive basketball hoops like gallows. Dismembered raccoon. Slightly convex cement salt shed. A delusion of perceiving the metabolic functioning of the city, glittering or glowing exoskeleton. Perambulatory behavior modification. A single giant cement antler. News of a floater. The scene of a movie. Bodies and habitations are not homologous. The city contemplate competing like an individual, reproducing itself in an economic family. Implosive signals of amphibians. How many octagons in the city? Driving at the fringes of structure. The smell of an electric fan. Torontogenic miasma, liquid dripping from the sky, pine cones accumulate like banned plastic bags, flattened tetrapacks, visualized from the perspective of a seagull, a plague of aphids followed by a plague of Japanese lady beetles, a plague of caterpillars in High Park, a plague of banana slugs in Riverdale, a plague of red admirals in the city. Reformist sentiment, sentimental reformism, tranquility in the grid, wholesale conversion of spaces in the duration of a decade, jumping spiders, shimmering microbes in the blue sky, goofball sunglasses come out for summer, the city full of character actors. Pigeons are uncoordinated. A dirty roof is a city of its own. The silos will be gone. The allocation of municipal resources within writing is less constrained. Hidden walkway, subterranean mall, public mall, the whole of a fragment of a fragment. Where is simultaneity located? Meteoriteology, an account of the material of the city like a weather report. The food consumed in this spot. Decor is the mediation of food. Food is the representation of nature. A segment of sidewalk is a camera. Hawks between the concrete slabs at the edge of the ravine. The balcony is a sort of camera, an off-the-grid high-rise apartment. Opacity of freshwater aquatic plants. An organic automobile. The original is also a model of the city. Automatic mapping, covering the city with revised terms. Giant's causeway of pebble-clad cement. Train model trees living in the path. An obscure content of a tiny mall shop shuttered at night. Purposeless cement causeway. The highly subsidized East End. Questing after the ideal of solitude in the city with the goal of subverting city council. Just sitting around at home trying to comprehend and imagine distances over real space is not productive. Demystification of the city, reenchantment of space. A Wally Byam rally in the exhibition grounds, still gleaming chrome coleopterans repeating to fill the field, occasionally bobbing mesh caps spotted between. In the case of the true voyeur, pornography will not suffice for the illumination of an empty room in a night window. A TV tube on which I can see Toronto. Abandoned office one-way mirror. Food container visible on beige and faux wood desk. Wandered into the utopia depicted in the official driver's handbook of Ontario. There was still an arcade there of which few of your acquaintances knew. If you would like to meet other shoplifters. Aesthetic conservatives who fantasize of the fetid interior of experimental housing. Ramp closures. Letting the animals go at Riverdale Farm. The surface of each era is exposed just as a particular part of the world is exposed when a stone is lifted. A retirement spent train spotting and butterfly hunting on the gravel margins of the waterfront rail lands. The Atari 2600s I found scattered in these streets. It turned out not to be a prison. Why doesn't rent fall with technical progress? Constellations of high-rises floating from the ravine. The tedium of zebra mussels. Band-only audience. The myth of the absence of silence. White noise is a type of silence. Another inverse ziggurat. Three-dimensional map in a cardboard box. Unassumed road. Schizophrenia in the city center. Depression in the outskirts. The smoky residue of erased graffiti. Televisions flicker arrhythmically. Cold headlights and red taillights wait cued at the peak. Chain link frontier. Unknotting highways. See the city in a day. The sound of trains passing. The frequent passing of cars on a wet street. A city with the structure of a phone book. In the viewer, you can access the whole city, careening through a posh neighborhood. Office lights turn on at late hour, impossible to know cause. Efficiency of social encounter is a product of density. The morbid voyeuristic pleasuring in dereliction mingled with the fantasy of a spacious freedom of movement. Removal of perspective / foreshortening. If you return on the opposite side of the road, your path is topologically a circle, not two strips along the same line. So that is courtesy of Ontario Security Documents. And now I'm going to proceed with the improvised part of this. I guess a performance is not too difficult a stretch. So this is a broadcast in LA. Mitchell Avenue iron worker. Queen Street nearby. Fenning Street, Potassium. Argyle Street Route. Manning Avenue Stash. Lisgar Street, tax exempt. Adelaide West, ungodly. Richmond Street, wrong. Wellington Street West, resin. Air Canada Centre, rush. Niagara Street, shaker. Ossington Avenue, muffler. Bank of Nova Scotia plaque. Intercontinental Center potency. CN Tower retrospective. Lakeshore sober. Niagara Street Steed. Lower Ossington Theatre Noble. McCormick Park Pitchfork. Young Street Restful. Crescent Road Shrivel. Adelaide Street East Solidity. Muriel Avenue Tantrum. Millwood Road, Wangle. Kilgore Road, Width. Winfield Park, Charmer. Little Italy, Dwarf. Pharmacy Avenue, Herpetology. Bayview Avenue, Impermeable. Thornbank Road, Light. North York Moped. North Albion Collegiate Institute Palestinian. Kenridge Avenue Recovery. Humber River Runway. Windermere Avenue Shock Absorber. Bloor Street Trooper. Osler Street Undrinkable. Davenport Road Vaguely. Witchwood Park, Bones Park. Sorry, Witchwood Park, Barnes Park, wartime. Taylor Creek Curl. Victoria Park Drugstore. Don Mills Road Gay. Lawrence Avenue Investor. Lawrence Manor Nastiness. Roxton Road Ongoing. Queen Street Patrolman. Wellington Street Realism. Ripley's Aquarium of Canada Restaurant. Direct Energy Center Scout. British Columbia Road Senator. Dufferin Street Sobriety. Spadina Road Subversion. Church of the Messiah Understatement. Dundas Street East Voyage. Mill Street Soul Moccasin. Pape Avenue Zoo. Danforth Collegiate Injunction. Millwood Road Meander. Leaside Village Nasturtium. Glenvale Boulevard Personification. Winfield's Park Objectivity. West Humber Parkland Patriotism. Victoria Park Recruitment. Newport Way Riot. Thornbank Road Rubble. Downsview Park Shortcut. Panoramic Park Sneezer. Norseman Junior Middle School Solitude. Innistree Crescent Sow. Alora Road Squint. Pelham Avenue Tape. Massey Creek Unfurl. Eglinton Avenue Water Skiing. Japanese Canadian Cultural Center, Horn of Plenty. Fairlawn Avenue Manufacturer. Rani Avenue Overcrowd. Ulster Street Potato Chips. Lisgar Street Prime. Wellington Street Pyromaniac. Crush Wine Bar Recovery. Lakeshore Boulevard Smooth. Dufferin Street Species. St. George Street Unattractive. Manning Avenue Blasé. Rosedale Station Southbound Platform Convex. Spruce Street Expansive. Cherry Street Apology. Dundas Street East Breadwinner. Pape Avenue Frugality. Millway Road Hijack. Crandale Road Insulation. Mount Hope Cemetery Labial. Bridal Path Massacre. North York Mysterious. Eglinton East Pectoral. Clark Avenue Remembrance. Associated Hebrew Schools of Toronto Sketchy. Renaissance Circle Spineless. Vance Crescent Thread. Yorkdale Shopping Center Tropic. Willowdale Verification. The Albion Center Gush. Eldridge Avenue Matriarchy. Laura Hill Park Neutral.
Wow. Wow.
Ooh, man. Oh, wow.
That really took me back. You know, Eleanor Nicholas, you've never even been to Toronto, have you?
I've been to the other side of that country.
Right. Vancouver?
Mm-hmm. And Banff?
Yeah, no. All right. So having never been to Toronto, do you feel like you've got a solid sense of my hometown there?
You know, we've talked about this. Your childhood to me is just like the boring scenes from David Cronenberg movies.
That's about right, yeah.
So, those places meant nothing to me. But I have a better sense now than I did before.
Yeah, there's some that were remarkably good, like Lawrence Park Investor.
What's if Lawrence
only,
Park?
If only you knew. It's a Tony neighborhood.
Yeah, okay.
Things like that.
Although I get the sense that, so there was a name of a place in Toronto and then a noun or adjective that kind of alighted with it.
Yeah.
That seemed to be chosen at random.
That's right. Yeah, that's how I understood Jesse's process there.
Right. So that one was just fortuitous.
Yeah, and it was the kind of situation where I think the collision of those things sort of like an excavatory psychogeographic process, right? Like it's going at it backwards from sort of a psychoanalytic perspective. Mm-hmm. Right, trying to excavate it through association, not necessarily through fact.
Right. Right. Purely at the level of language.
Which unfortunately we did say farewell to earlier this evening.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. I think Godard really meant farewell to books.
Fair enough. I mean,
the French publish some pretty handsome looking paperbacks.
Yeah.
They're good at that.
Not as good as the Germans.
Oh, yeah.
Sur Comte Verlag, that is some creamy, dreamy stuff.
Yeah.
But, yeah. So, other than your pre-existing bias towards scenes in Cronenberg movies where nothing's happening, do you feel like anything more of Toronto stuck? Even just in terms of in the realm of language, like the names of the places.
Yeah, I mean, they have a distinctly British quality about them.
Hmm.
The names of the towns, or the names of the parks, and there's some dales in there, I feel like.
Yeah, dales.
That's a British thing, I think.
I mean, I don't want to appear too nitpicky.
Okay.
But almost all of the place naming we have that is not directly from Spanish is a British thing.
Sure. You mean in general?
Hollywood, for example, could also be a British thing.
Right. I mean, well, you're just asking me for some general reflections.
Yeah.
I mean, it didn't sound
How did
like
it feel more British.
It didn't sound like Brazil.
Right. Or like Los Angeles. Okay. Right. So fair enough. Yeah. It's not like the neighborhoods were Los Feliz and
yeah.
But like Atwater Village.
I'm not trying to say.
Where's Atwater Village? Is it in Toronto?
No, it could be.
It could be.
Yeah. I'm also, to also point out something obvious, we're pretty close by these two countries, the United States and Canada.
Oh, yeah.
So
yeah.
The fact that we'd both have British sounding names is not preposterous.
And the fact that we're speaking English because of their success, right. Their runaway success as colonists.
It's not because, you know, it was colonized by Malaysia.
Yeah.
It didn't sound like Malaysia.
It did not sound like Malaysia.
Right. At no point did I think, oh, that's a Southeast Asian country.
It's not.
Mm-hmm. But, geez, psychogeography. I feel like my impulse to navigate Los Angeles with my phone has crushed my psychogeography of the city. When I finally learn a path and I drive around without the phone, then I start to regain some sense of a psychogeographic understanding of this town, because I'm bad at remembering street names. So I always, you know, when I'm driving with my girlfriend, I'll say, no, turn left when you see the guy holding the hamburger or whatever, you know. Or
one of those muffler guys who's been converted to a hamburger guy.
Or there's this one really gnarly ditch in the road where your car is going to make this bump. You turn right after that.
Right.
That's as close to a psychogeography of this city as I get.
It's different for me, I think, because I spent so long looking at bus head signs before I started driving.
Right.
Where the names of streets were really important.
Right.
And streets that you would never see.
Mm-hmm.
The thing about a bus head sign is that the chances of you actually going to the end of a bus line are relatively remote. You would generally go somewhere in the middle. You'd get on somewhere in the middle, and you would get off somewhere else in the middle-ish.
Yeah, it's like when
a bus line.
When you get on the train to New Jersey from New York, and it says Jamaica.
Right, right. And you're never going to go there.
You're not going all the way down to Jamaica.
You're not going all the way down to Jamaica on that train.
No, you're getting off in Jersey.
You're getting off at Newark Airport or something. Yeah, exactly. And it's exactly the same thing. So it's like there was this whole constellation of street names that I knew only in terms of them being terminal destinations. And presumably, therefore, also at the edges of, you know, like somewhere in commerce is that thing. Where is the Artesia Transit Plaza, for example?
And what kind of noodles do they serve?
They don't serve any food at the Artesia Transit Plaza. There's a vending machine.
Excellent.
But because I eventually did go there on a mission to the Carson IKEA. Via mass transit, which is not as close as the Burbank IKEA,
clearly,
but is interesting in that it is a rare three-story designed IKEA.
Oh yeah, do they have those amazing escalators for shopping carts?
Not that I'm aware of. It does have escalators on the outside of the building.
Oh, I have been to that one. It's south of here.
South of here.
Yeah, I've been
Carson.
To that one.
Yes, it's quite odd.
Good parking lot, though.
Good parking lot.
Really solid parking lot.
I walked through it from the distant bus stop when I went there. But the other point I was going to make about psychogeography is that I've been, and this is embarrassing to admit, but I've been doing brain training via apps on my phone.
Okay, tell us about the apps.
One of them is called Peak.
Okay.
And among the things Peak does is it will show you a map.
Okay.
With a starting point and a destination point, and then it will put you in a street view, and you must navigate to it based on, you know, knowing that something's two blocks up and one block over. And if you encounter an obstacle and have to go around, you still have to remember the placement of the final destination, even though you can't remember a specific, you have to detour from a specific
route. So
you're like,
I need to jog left one block up to right, whatever.
To compensate kind of thing. And you have to keep that in mind. And since then, I've stopped trying to map things as much as I used to.
Right.
I would consult the map and try to remember the directions.
That's generally how I use the map.
Well, I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
I think it's better. It's better than, I feel like oftentimes with this very same girlfriend that I'm driving with, she consults the map every few seconds.
And yeah.
And oftentimes I'm telling her, just look.
Yeah.
Just look in front of you.
Like, yes.
You know, whether
yes.
or not you can turn right will be self-evident.
Yeah.
Like, you know, and especially in searching for, because sometimes, especially on the 10, it's hard to tell where the entries are to the freeway.
Yeah,
say you're just like somewhere in Koreatown. So I'm just like, just follow the, you know, just kind of follow. You'll figure it out.
There are signs.
Or we can pull over and spend 10 minutes looking, which will probably be the same amount of time. Yeah. Than just looking.
But anyway, the highways, I feel, are actually the biggest blow against the psychogeography of Los Angeles. I feel like although they provide their own unique topos, they are uniquely unhelpful in terms of helping people to understand how the place works.
You might as well be in a tunnel.
At the same time, that tunnel, as you say, is in some ways the more real reality for the majority of Angelenos.
How so?
I mean, that's just how people get around.
Right, right.
Right. Like, you know, like if I'm saying there is something to be experienced by taking the bus, which a lot of people do, you know, LA has the most used public transit of any city in North America.
Right.
That still definitely does not account for the experience of all these automotive Los Angelenos.
Yeah. I did read somewhere that, you know, the way most people drive the same path to work, to and from work.
Yeah.
Maybe they take different paths to and from, depending on traffic, but this, they take the same path nonetheless. And most people, when they get in their car and they start the car, and they start heading home down this well-traveled path, they're completely not cognizant of the drive. They just arrive home.
That's true.
Be kind of out of magic or something.
I mean, that's true of myself walking home from my I mean, I'm one of these people who's privileged to actually live within walking distance of his studio.
Mm-hmm.
And so I walk home to my studio sometimes, and you know, I've done it enough times that I don't even notice it happening.
Right. All of a sudden you're just getting your keys out to open the apartment.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah.
That's psycho.
Isn't it? And on that note, Los Angeles, another late night here with Steve and Nick in the deep bowels of the anechoic chamber housing the magnificent K-Chung facility.
Right.
Next to the Solomon Bothwell Bio Labs.
It's in production phase.
I thought that he wanted to create artisanal mushrooms.
Right.
And I was thinking that one idea for his business should be called Solomon Spores.
What did he had a different name today?
He did. Solomon Superfoods is what he quoted me on.
Right. I think he's got to play up the biblical references.
King Solomon's Spores. Yes, yes.
Yeah.
The wisest of the biblical patriarchs.
Or Solomon's, the King's Spores.
King Chung's Spores.
Wise Mushrooms.
Good night, Los Angeles.
Pay attention.